Hello, church. It's great to be back with you today. Thank you very much for being here at Azalea City Church of Christ. Justin and myself and the other crew that was over there certainly had a great trip, and we believe that God was glorified through it all. But I'm going to just tell you that when we saw our families on Friday evening, it was well appreciated, and thank them very much, but also thank you very much for your patience with us, your prayers, and also your welcoming us back. We will tell you more about the good news that's going on in Ukraine that happened in all the areas we visited, but especially at Camp AmeriCrane, at a later time. But I do want you to know there are great things going on. There are those who are there that send their love and appreciation for the support of the Azalea City Church of Christ, of the Downtown Church of Christ in Kramatorsk, Ukraine. If you did not see, Justin and I did do a couple Facebook Lives with our podcast while we were over there, but the very first week, Vlad, as you know him, he goes by Vovinal Pazi. He answers to about anything, but anyhow, he is on that podcast with us. If you would like to see Vova, one of the preachers at the Downtown Church that we support. Vitaly's also on there as well, except Vitaly doesn't speak English. So Justin is always a hit over there because his Russian is so unique. You should get Justin to talk to you in Russian sometime. It's really, really good. Maybe. But anyhow, we're glad to be home. I do want to say that as we come home, I come home, you know, we left not worried because this church is not Justin and Terry. This church is all of us, and we had no doubt that we would be left in great hands. We have great elders, we have great deacons, ministry leaders, great everybody here, but we've got the intern of all interns. Let me tell you, Tucker Presley, I love you, brother. I mean, you know, elders, I mean, I know we're behind on budget. I'm going to preach on giving this morning. Let's go ahead and sign this guy, you know, for when he gets out. But Tucker, I know you did a great job. People told me that, but I know because I heard you. I listened to you, and it was a great lesson. He's just gifted, and I'm glad we've got him. I wish it wouldn't come to an end, but I understand he's going to have to go back to school eventually. But anyhow, I'm glad he's still here for a few more weeks. And Tucker means a lot to me personally. I've watched him grow up, and you know, He's somebody that if you haven't got to know him, get to know him. He's doing great things for our Lord here and for our young people. Do want to talk to you this morning about how am I doing? We're still talking about this series of lessons. How am I doing? The last time I preached in this auditorium, I had to go quickly. Well, I told you I'd preach you a quick sermon. I don't know how long it'll be today, but hey, I'm loving being in here. It's beautiful, and certainly, we're thankful that God has blessed us with the facilities we have. Certainly, we want to fill it up. And, you know, I know that that's something that would be great. So when we talk about filling it up and growing and doing and going throughout all the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe the things that Christ commanded, then we've got to understand along the way, we've got to examine ourselves. What am I doing? How am I doing when it comes to fill in the blank? We've talked about worship. We've talked about our own selves. We've talked about servant. We've talked about all kinds of things so far. And today I want to talk to us about our contributing. What are we contributing when it comes to the church? Is this going to talk about money? Yeah, it's going to talk about money, but that's not all it's going to talk about. We're going to talk about what God expects from us. And I believe with all my heart that God expects us to give. I believe He expects us, I know He expects us to give financially, but that's not all He expects us to give. He expects us to put Him first. Not only does He expect it, He demands it. Going way back now to the old law, and I know that law didn't pertain to us per se, but that law, it's still, that concept is still in the place. Jesus didn't abolish this because the number one law, command out of the Ten Commandments is, there shall be no other God before me. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want anything else above Him. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we allow things to get in between us and God. And when we do that, we do not contribute to God the way we need to give. We do not give our time. We do not give our effort. We do not give our means the way God expects us to give. You see, we live in a give me more and give me right now society. When you are in Ukraine and you're as picky as I am, sometimes you struggle when it comes to eating. I mean, I didn't lose any weight, but so I ate, okay? But when we got to McDonald's, and I'm not a big McDonald's guy. My children would eat it every day of their lives if they could. But, I mean, I would eat it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but if I had to choose, I don't think I would choose McDonald's. But when you're over there, you eat McDonald's, and they had a hamburger that it's very hard to be able to get from one. They're not used to people ordering it plain. And so me and another guy on the trip, one of the guys in Jordan Abrams' youth group, we always would order the same thing. We'd get it plain. But he'd go first, and I'd say, I'd want it exactly like him. And so they translated. It worked out for the most part, at least once or twice. But anyhow, the point I'm trying to say is, even in Ukraine, 6,000 miles from home, you can have it your way. You know, and that's the society we live in. I want it now. I want it my way. I want it the way, because it's all about me, right? It's about my taste buds. It's about my life. Well, folks, that's not the way the church is. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's always been about Him, and it will always be about Him. But there seems to be, when we have the mindset of, it's about me, it's about my comfort, it's about my understanding in this, there seems to be, when we have that mindset, a lack of commitment. You look in society today, there's a lack of commitment. There are many who are not happy with their homes, so they go and get other homes. They're not happy with their clothes, and so they get other clothes. They're not happy with toys or luxuries, and some are not happy with their husbands and wives, and so they get other husbands and wives. And if we're not careful, that kind of stuff carries over into the church. That's why it's so important to plug in. Plug into the power of God, but plug into the power of the church. And that's what today is about. In Philippians 4, 10 through 13, Dallas read to us from that writing of Paul just a little bit ago. I'm going to reread those words to you. Because I want you to remember where Paul is when he writes these words. Paul's in a prison cell, probably not ever thinking he's going to see the light of day again. And he writes a letter through the Holy Spirit of encouragement to the church at Philippi, and he writes these words, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." God, Paul's thanking them for them taking care of him. Verse 12, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You see, Paul made the most of what he had, and he did it and gave it to the glory of God. Can we ask the same thing about ourselves? Can we say the same thing about ourselves? In whatever state I am, I've learned to be content. But whatever God has given me, I'm going to use to His glory. Listen, folks, I'm not saying that it's not okay to have a new automobile or a new home, or I have those things myself, or new clothes or whatever. But are we using it to contribute to the work of the kingdom? Are we using it to God's glory? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. What am I doing? Where's my heart? How am I doing when it comes to contributing to the Lord? Today's lesson I want to bring to you comes from John chapter 6, please. If you'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, we're going to look at the first 14 verses of this in just a moment. But I want you to know, because we'll reference them, that not only is this lesson recorded through John in John chapter 6, Matthew records it in Matthew 14, Mark records it in Mark 6, and Luke records it in Luke 9. That's four gospel accounts all record this message. So this is a very important lesson. This is something they all witnessed. This is something that the Spirit inspired them to write about. And so they do. But I chose John because it looks a little bit differently at some things. But we'll reference all of them. But look at John 6 now, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." What a powerful lesson. What a powerful lesson that Jesus gives us on a contribution. And today I want to draw our challenge, or our challenges, to ourselves. Again, it's the 6th, 7th month checkup now, okay? We're asking ourselves, how am I doing? How am I doing compared to last year? How am I doing compared to last week? How am I doing compared to yesterday when it comes to fill in the blank that we talked about, but today on our contributing to God? Well, out of this, there are 3 things I draw from this lesson that I believe we can contribute to God. If we're not doing it already, we should. And if we're not doing it well, we need to get better at it. Number one is this. How am I doing when it comes to contributing compassion? Jesus had compassion on these people. I love in John's account that he sees them coming. And the first thing he thinks is, these folks are going to be hungry. And he has compassion on them. And he's got a plan already. Don't you love that about God? People say, well, when did God's plan come into motion? Or when did God think about His redemption of the world? It came into motion, of course, when Adam and Eve sinned. But the plan was already planned long before that. God is not somebody who is by the seat of His pants. It's in His will, and it's going to work out the way He says because He's God. Jesus had a plan. But with that plan, he had compassion. No one else had the compassion of Jesus that day. You see, what Jesus is going to do is not only feed their bellies, but he's going to teach his disciples about contributing to compassion. Why? Because in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, in Acts chapter 2, all these things, all this go into the world, all this, Jesus is going to leave them. He's going to be gone. And now all of a sudden, they're going to have to be the ones who show the compassion. So he's teaching them to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and he challenged them to be in Matthew 5. He's challenging them to keep all those attitudes that he talked about, the attitudes that we all ought to be in those Beatitudes. And so today, not only is he teaching those disciples, I believe he's still teaching us. How are we doing when it comes to our compassion? Are we giving compassion to the world? Matthew and Mark's accounts, again, I told you we'd reference all of them. They say, more than John here, that Jesus was moved with compassion. The people were diseased. I want you to look at verse 2 of John chapter 6. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Maybe some of those in the group were diseased. Certainly they had seen Jesus do this. This is a man who helped people. They may have had diseases like leprosy where nobody else wanted to touch him, but we know Jesus touched that man. This is the Jesus, the compassionate Savior that we know and that we love and that we serve. He's teaching the disciples, and he's teaching the disciples today to be moved with compassion. Let me just tell you real quick. On Saturday, a week ago, we were deciding where we were going to do on Friday night. We were in Dnipro, Ukraine. This was right after Vacation Bible School. We had traveled by train to Dnipro, and now we're there and we're eating together, and we've got to decide who's going to the orphanage with the girls, because girls go to orphanages because they love babies and they're great with babies and all that, and who's going to go get the sports supplies. Well, now I'm the oldest one in the group because Jeff's not there, so I can't let the girls go by themselves. Nobody else volunteered, so I'm like, I'll go to the orphanage, you know. I love babies. I love them. I love your babies. I love babies at the orphanage. But I just want to go hang out with the guys. They're going to get sports supplies. You know, we're going to get guys, you know? And so we load up and we go to the orphanage. The girls and myself and a translator and a driver. Well, this was no ordinary orphanage. This was an orphanage that was 100% special needs children. And these special needs children had been given up by their parents because they had special needs. They didn't love them. They didn't want them. The first thing they do when you get there is they're jumping up and down. Yeah, there's people here. And let me tell you, as soon as you walk out of there, they want to touch you. They want to hold you. They've got disease. They've got other things going on. But I'm telling you, because Ken Murphy taught me a lesson a long time ago, I don't let that stuff bother me anymore. I told you that lesson about Ken Murphy and the man with AIDS. It stuck with me. I'm loving on these people, and I'm also trying to take it away from the girls because it puts them a little bit, they're all guys too, I don't know if I mentioned that, all guys. And so, we're doing this, and folks, when I left that orphanage, I was the one who had been taught a lesson. I was moved by that. So much to the point that I went back and I was like, Justin, I wish you guys could have gone. It was absolutely amazing. But you know, if I had not been taught about compassion, I don't really know how I would have responded. I'm not, at times, the most compassionate person. You can ask my children and my wife that. But because of people like Pat Platt in my past, and people who've taught me lessons, and the story I knew I was going to preach here today, we've all got to be moved with compassion. Folks, there are people out there with disease. There are people that don't smell good. I mean, I don't know why deodorant hasn't made its way across to Europe. I'm being serious. It's rough at times. And they want to love on you and hug on you, and it's out of your comfort zone. But you know what? At the end of the day, does that matter? You know, we've got to be moved with compassion. But it's not just 6,000 miles away. It's in our backyard. It's all around us. The people were diseased, verse 2. So what did Jesus do? He lifted up his eyes, verse 3. Mark chapter 6 tells us that these people were like sheep not having a shepherd. You see, there's a crowd surrounding all of us. Some of them are diseased. Some of them do not look like us. They don't talk like us. They're not educated like us. They don't smell like us. They're not us. What are we going to do? Are we going to be the church? Are we going to contribute compassion? Or are we going to shut the door? You see, Jesus didn't care. And He taught us we shouldn't care either. We've got to love people. There are people around us that need Jesus, and we need to open our eyes to it. There are people around us that do not have a shepherd, and we've got to point them to Him. But in order to do this, we've got to realize some things. Number one, we can't focus on ourselves. I said it before. I'll say it again. Behind this wall is water. When I go down in that water and I'm immersed in that water and I contact the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm killing my old self. I'm killing the sinful Terry. I'm killing the selfish Terry. I'm killing the all about me, all about I, all about self, whatever I want. He's dead. When I come up, I'm born again. And at that point forward, it's not about me anymore. But sometimes we forget that. We've forgotten, oh yeah, I can't contribute this week because it's not about, you know, I got to have this. I got to do this for me. It's all about me. We can't, if we're going to be truly compassionate people, we got to quit thinking about self. We can't think about material things. And thirdly, we cannot major in the minors. There are a lot of things that matter. And there are a lot of things that do not matter. Let's quit getting focused on the things that do not matter. And let's focus on the things that matter to God. And let's get those right. Sometimes we spend so much time focusing on majoring in the minors that we forget the big picture. If I'm going to be compassionate in Sims or in Mobile or in Saraland or Satsuma or Chunchula or Fairview or Wilmer, the state of Alabama, the United States of America, Nigeria, Ukraine, or wherever I tread, well, guess what? I need to open my eyes. Yeah, it takes money, it takes bodies, it takes energy, but it takes compassion. Jesus had compassion on those who were lost, and I'm thankful to God He had compassion on me. Secondly, this morning, how am I doing? Again, learning from this lesson in John chapter 6, we need to learn about contributing to compassion, but we also need to learn about contributing to contributions. Think about this. They didn't have any bread. They didn't have anything to feed these people. They didn't have enough money. This is 5,000 men. Not to mention wives and children. And we know there are children among them because there's a lad with them. I don't know how, it could be 10,000 people there. And they're all coming. And Jesus says, Philip, where are we going to get the bread to eat to feed these people? Philip did about like me. Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. We could take, did you hear what Philip said? He said, we could take 200 denarii worth of bread and it not be sufficient. By the way, that was about 200 days worth of work. He says, that's a lot of people, Jesus, that's a lot of bread. And we don't have the money or we don't have the food. But they had a lad. They had a lad in the story, and I want to focus on that lad for a few minutes today. I don't know his name, nor do you. But just like that widow with two mites who never expected us to preach sermons on her 2,000 years later, I guarantee you this lad didn't either. But we're going to today. Because he teaches one of the greatest lessons on giving that we can find in all the Bible. You see, Matthew, the disciples, in Matthew's account, the disciples tell Jesus, we only have. But this lad had something they didn't. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Andrew, in John 6, asked Jesus, when it comes to regards about the bread and fish, but what are they among so many? Now you got to see this scene. Here's this young man who's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he steps up. I mean, can you see him doing it? They're talking among themselves. Maybe he's one of the first ones down there. And he overhears them talking. He's like, hey, I've got some bread and I've got some fish. Isn't that great how children think? You know, I don't know how many thousands of dollars we're behind on budget, but we're behind, you know, in the tens of thousands, by the way. I want you to hear that. Tens of thousands we are behind on budget. That doesn't mean we're going to close the doors. That doesn't mean God's going to bless us. He will keep blessing us. And we're going to find a deal. Hey, we're going to have catch-up Sundays. The elders have agreed to that. We're going to have times where we might have missed or whatever, and we can recontribute that. But you don't have to wait till then. You can go ahead and put it in the plate, the elders say. Okay? But here's the deal. worth thousands of dollars. And a child may hear that, and they may bring, you know, $4 or $5 worth of change. And you know, they... Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful the way children think? $4 or $5, they're going to catch up 15,000. But boy, that attitude is going to catch on. That attitude is going to change things. And that attitude of this young man changed a generation of thoughts and disciples. He said, look, I've got some bread and I've got some fish. And man, I can see Jesus smiling so big thinking, he gets it. That young man gets it. These disciples don't get it, but he does. That's why Jesus, when they said, Jesus is too busy to love on your children. Jesus said, uh-uh. Don't you tell those children they can't come see me. That's why he stared those Pharisees in the face and said, unless you become like these little children, you're not going to heaven either. This lad, he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I want to think for a minute about what he did. Had he fished all day to get these fish? Had he worked all day to get this bread? Was he going to sell it to help his family? Maybe he wanted to buy something special for his mom. Maybe it was so that he and his family could finally have, maybe they hadn't eaten in a couple days, and he had gone to work, and he had fished, and he acquired this so that his family, I don't know why he had it. But can you imagine the thought process that went through his mind? But whatever the reason he had it, he didn't let it hold him back. He gave it all. It was all that he had. And he gave it. Why? Why did he do that? Was it to feed the hungry? Was it to help those because they were all in need? Was it because he loved Jesus so much? Was it because he loved the people? Was it because Jesus had healed his mama or his daddy? I don't know. I don't know why he did it. But in the end, by him giving that, those 5 loaves and 2 small fish fed those thousands, and there were plenty of leftovers. You see, Jesus only needs a little. In fact, God doesn't need anything. The gold that we value so much in this country is going to be asphalt in heaven, folks. We're going to walk on it. Gold means nothing to God. He just wants the attitude. He wants the willingness to give. Well, I'm not going to give because I don't like where they're doing. Then you're not in subjection to the elders of this church. I'm not going to give because, then go work it out with them. I can't give anything because I don't have the money. I guarantee you that lad didn't have, that's not leftovers. That's not the leftovers he was given. If it's $1 or it's $1,000, all God wants is the heart and the attitude of I'm giving to you, God. He's not concerned with how much. He's concerned with are you willing? We have a responsibility to seek and save the lost. The elders are charged with it. I'm charged with it. Jason, Justin, Tucker, those of us who are ministers, all of us here, we're charged with seeking and saving the lost. And in order to do that, it takes money. But it takes time. It takes effort. It takes willingness. Not everybody can teach a class. Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can go to someone's home and tell them about the church and tell them about Jesus, but we can all contribute. That is something universally we all can do. Whether $1 a week or $1,000 a week, we can do it. How are we doing when it comes to our contributing? Finally, this morning, how am I doing when it comes to keeping the commandments of our Lord? Jesus has given us many commands, but it boiled down to two. God gave them 10 commandments in the Old Testament, which boiled down to about 617 others. Jesus in the New Testament gave us many commandments. I mean, all of it falls in line, but it all stems from two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. All of them. You see, it's not because we don't have, it's because we don't want to. It's a love, it's a heart problem. We don't have to beg people to worship. We shouldn't have to. It's not a sermon problem. It's not a too long problem. It's not we're in chairs or we're in pews that are too soft now or what the air is not cold enough or it's too hot. What, it's not that. It's a love. It's a heart problem if I'm missing. The same with giving. The same with praying. The same with singing. The same with contributing. The same with obeying the commands. But specifically here, there are four quick commands I want to go through. First thing he tells them to do is feed. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that word. The disciples were going to send the people away. 5,000 men. You put in the numbers. Is it 8,000? I don't know. But there are at least 5,000. Okay? And they're hungry and they have need and they need a Savior. They need a shepherd. There's sheep that are lost and they're going to send them away. But Jesus says, no, we got to feed them. We got to feed them. He told Peter in John 21, do you love me? He asked him that question. Peter was offended after Jesus asked him a couple times, wasn't he? You know I love you, Lord. He said, then feed my sheep. What are we doing to feed the sheep? Secondly, he said, bring. Matthew recorded it this way, bring the 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish in that lad's hands, that wasn't very much. But 5 loaves and 2 fish in our Savior's hands, it were leftovers. There were leftovers. Bring. What are we bringing to Jesus? What are we bringing to Him today? Thirdly, he said, sit. Feed, bring, sit. All four accounts record that. Tell them to sit down. Talks about the grassy hills and all that. It was a good place to sit. Are we sitting at the Savior's feet? Are we willing to be still and know? Have we gotten so busy that we forgot how to sit down and allow Jesus to feed us? Are we feeding? Are we bringing? Are we sitting? And then finally, he said, gather. John 6, verse 12, gather up the leftovers. You see, there are folks all around us that are wandering around without a shepherd. Are we gathering them? Are we bringing them? Sunday kicks off our family vacation Bible school. Justin and I are playing catch-up thanks to all those who've been going and blowing with this already. We're going to practice on Thursday night. We're going to practice on Saturday. You want to be in the skit, you need to come on. We're going to need some bones, okay? We're going to need you to come back alive. We'll explain how that happens, and we've got some recruiting in that. Justin is going to be Ezekiel. We have an opportunity to gather up as many children and family members as we can next Sunday and bring them here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Are we willing to do it? Nah, somebody else would do it. That's the disciples' attitude. Send them away. We ain't got enough to feed them. You bring them here, we'll feed them. physically, but we're going to feed them spiritually. Feed. Bring. Sit. Gather. How am I doing when it comes to those commandments? In closing, I want to talk about the lad and the five loaves of bread and two fish again. As I said earlier, in his hands it was those things were not much. But in Jesus' hands it fed thousands. Johnny mentioned God is, Jesus is, in his wonderful nice man reminder this morning. In Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4, but specifically 3, Moses meets God. He meets him in the form of a burning bush. And there the command is given, after he tells him to take off his sandals and all that, he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. I need those people. I'm going to make them a great nation. I promised Abraham it's going to happen. Jesus has got to come into this world. He didn't tell him all that, but we know. Why? Moses had some apprehension. We learned they were just excuses, according to chapter 4. He didn't really want to do it. But there's a moment there where he says a couple things I want to point out real quick. First of all, he says, who am I going to tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them the I Am sent you. And by the way, when you look at that word in the Hebrew, you know what it means? It means that the past, the present, the future. God is the God of the past. God is the present of the future, but God is right now. He's still reigning. And because He's still reigning, He wants what's in your hands, what's in your hearts, what's in your minds, what's in your souls. He wants it, and He can do great things with it. After all, He told Moses, what's in your hand. And he had a staff. You remember he told him to throw it down and he turned it into a snake and he said pick it up and he turned it back into a staff. Now think about what that staff did. That staff, all it had done was shepherd sheep at that point. But boy, if that staff could talk. It went before Pharaoh and said, let these people go. Aaron took a staff and he turned the water of the Nile River into blood. Aaron's staff was so special that it budded and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Moses took that staff and he rolled back the Red Sea. But folks, all it was a piece of wood with a hook on it. But in God's hands, it changed the world. Today you might think, I don't have much to give. But you try our God. You give it today, and you watch the amazing things that are about to happen. Today, how are you doing? Are you willing to give? It starts with your life. Let's give it right now together. We stand and sing.